We read this morning in the book of Acts, and reading at chapter 6 of Acts, and it's page 1098. Page number there is wrong. Page 1098. And we're thinking this morning about Stephen, who was one of the initial followers of Jesus and in the early church, and of what happened. We're reading this morning of what happened to him. So read first of all in verse 8 of chapter 6 of Acts. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "This fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Then in chapter 7, which we're not going to read, or most chapter 7 we're not going to read, Stephen stands up and he speaks to the Sanhedrin, who are kind of the leaders of the day, and he talks to them about God had taught them in the Old Testament and of how it pointed towards Jesus, Jesus whom they had crucified. And then in verse 51-54 we pick up the story. Verse 54 of chapter 7. When the members of the Sanhedrin heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this they covered their ears and, yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of their killing him. Amen. Over recent months, with the rise of ISIS or ISIL or wherever you want to call them in the Middle East and Iraq and wherever else, we have become increasingly aware of Christian martyrs, perhaps in a way that we haven't done in recent years. We've seen the men in orange suits lined up and ready to die. We've heard of people who are being told to renounce their faith or to face the consequences, to face death, and who have been prepared to face that death rather than renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. And this morning we're thinking about Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr, the first to die for his faith in Jesus Christ. And as we do so, as we look at these verses together, hopefully we will learn more about him. But more importantly, we will hopefully learn more of his God and of what that same God calls us to as well. What kind of guy was Stephen? What kind of guy was he? Well, he was, to put it very basically, he was a man who lived for Jesus Christ. But not in a kind of middle-of-the-road kind of way, kind of, yeah, it's part of my life, but he did so in a way that was wholehearted. Stephen is not in the story of Acts for very long. He's hardly ever mentioned. He's really just mentioned in these couple of chapters. But whenever he is mentioned in positive terms. And as someone who was obviously seen to be a man of faith and of love for Jesus Christ. Early in chapter 6, a part that we didn't read, the church are looking for people to care for the widows in the community and for others who were needing help. And one of the people that are mentioned and nominated, as it were, is Stephen. He was seen to be the ideal candidate, and he's described as someone who is full of faith in the Holy Spirit. Stephen's your man because he's full of faith and the Holy Spirit. These were in the days after the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit had come upon the people, where people had received the Holy Spirit into their lives. And that's what had happened to Stephen. And he was revealing the fruit of the Spirit seen in his life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It was seen in his day-to-day life that he was someone who had faith in Jesus Christ and in whom the Holy Spirit was at work. And then this is backed up in verse 8 of our reading, where it says, where he's described as someone who is full of God's grace and power. He was full of God's grace and power. Not just a little bit, not just some of God's grace and power, but he was full of it. It seems that in Stephen's life, that he was fully devoted to Christ. There was nothing that he had withheld from Christ. He had a relationship with him that was special, that was close. And you see again, this is seen later on in verse 15, I think it is. In the story, Stephen is brought before the Sanhedrin because of his teaching, because he was full of grace and full of the Holy Spirit, and because of his teaching about Jesus Christ, and they weren't happy about it, and so they brought him to them to explain himself, to justify himself. Just before he speaks, we have an interesting little sentence in which the people, we are told, looked intently at him because they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. And by that, it seems to be implying that his face shone. What does an angel look like? I don't know, I've never met one. Have you? But in the Bible, they seem to be seen as as bright, as shining, and that seems to be the implication here. His face shone. Now, what are we to make of that? Here's Stephen, he's in this room and he's glowing. Had he taken his ready break that morning? Well, way back in the Old Testament, you might remember something similar happened to Moses. Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments and the Book of the Law. And when he came down, his face shone. Why was his face shining? Because he'd been in the presence of God. And it seems that something similar is the case here. His face was like an angel. He was walking with God, and it was visible. And the people began to wonder, what is it about this guy? Full of faith and the Holy Spirit, full of God's grace and power, they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Now, there's no one else referred to in the same way in the New Testament as their faces shining like Stephen's does here. So it's not saying that, yeah, your face should shine, but we've perhaps known some people who we have known that they are people who walk with God. You know by the way that they talk. You know by the way that they act, the way that they speak about others, the way that they speak about God. And you're aware that person has a relationship with God that is close. And then perhaps you hear them pray and you hear the way that they speak with their loving Father and you realize that they have this relationship, that they have this love. That they're walking with God. And that was Stephen. He was someone who walked with God in his daily life and it was visible. His love for God was tangible. You could almost touch it. He's full of faith in the Holy Spirit, full of God's grace and power. Now it wasn't that Stephen made himself like this. It wasn't that he got up one morning and said to himself, I'm going to try really hard to have faith and feel faith in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to try really hard to be full of God's grace and power. And I'm going to do it all by my own effort and by my own kind of muscle power. But rather it was because God was at work in his life. And he had allowed God to be at work in his life. Stephen, it seems, had been a person who had come to God and he had said, "Here I am. Use me. Work through me. Change me. Let me be your servant. Let me be your man for such a time as this." And God had used him. We sometimes sing these words, the words of a song that we've recently learnt. "Jesus, take all of me. I run to you, I run to you. I lay everything at your feet. Let my life be yours." That, in a sense, is what Stephen had done, and it was seen in his life. A man who lived for Jesus Christ, But he was also a man who was prepared to die for Jesus Christ. In chapter 7, as I've already said, Stephen speaks to the Sanhedrin, the leaders of the day, and he speaks to them, and he comes to a climax, in a sense, where he tells them that they have killed the Son of God. And he was pointing to the fact that the Old Testament was fulfilled in Jesus the Messiah. And that in Jesus, life had come, life in all of its fullness. And what he said was too much for the Sanhedrin. Even though his face was shining, even though he was full of grace and all of that, it was too much for them. They couldn't take it. This was blasphemy. And so they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And there are just a few things in these verses that we notice. The first thing is that as he was prepared to die for Jesus Christ willingly, Stephen here wasn't the victim of a sudden lynching that caught him by surprise. It wasn't that he was walking down the street and a gang of people jumped out on him. No, he was in front of the Sanhedrin, and he was going to speak to them. And he knew that his life was on the line. And he could have thought to himself, well, I'll just water down what I say here because, well, my life is on the line. I'll just leave a little bit of things vague. But he didn't do that. He spoke the truth. He spoke about his Savior. And he was willing to die. His Lord Jesus had died for him. And he was prepared to go the same way. Remember the words of Jesus? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory. Stephen was willing to take up his cross. He wasn't ashamed of his Lord. So he was prepared to die for Jesus Christ willingly. He was also prepared to die for Jesus Christ with forgiveness on his lips. As he is dying, he prays these words, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. These are guys that are throwing rocks at his head. We, I'm sure, have heard comments such as, well, I'll never forgive what they've done to me. I'll never speak to them again. They've gone too far. Here the people are killing Stephen, and his words are not words of bitterness. They aren't words of anger. They aren't words of, why me? How could you let this happen? Neither are they words of revenge. Rather, they're words full of grace. He was full of grace. Don't hold that against them. And I wonder, does that remind you of someone else who died? One of the last words of Jesus was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. willingly, with forgiveness on his lips. He also died with the assurance of heaven. As you read the story, one of the things that strikes you, or it struck me anyway, is Stephen's calmness and confidence. If I was in that situation, I don't know if I would have been so calm and confident, would you? And yet he was. There is no fear, there is no panic, but there's a quiet and sure trust that all would be well. And that even if he were to be stoned to death, that he would be with his Father in glory. And this becomes clear in the things that he says just before the stoning began. Stoning which would be pretty brutal and a prolonged event. He says something to the people. He says to them, "Look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." I see glory. I see heaven. And the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God. Now, normally, when the Bible talks about Jesus being in heaven, it normally talks about him being seated at the right hand of God the Father. But here he is standing. He sees him standing. And it's almost as if Stephen is saying that Jesus has got up out of his seat with his arms open, ready to welcome him in. He's standing there. He's ready to welcome me into his presence. And then as the stones are hurled at him, and before he breathes his last, he simply says, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And again, they might remind you of words that Jesus spoke on the cross, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Death for Stephen was not going into the unknown. It wasn't becoming part of nothingness or the end of all things. Death wasn't something he was unsure about. Where was he going to go? "Well, I might go to heaven. I think I'm going to heaven, but I'm not too sure." Death for Stephen was, "I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus." It was falling into the arms of his Lord. It was falling into the arms of his Savior, whom he loved. He knew that Jesus would be waiting for him. And if we are people who have put our faith in Jesus Christ, if we are Christians, then that is the confidence, that is the peace that we too can have. We don't know when we're going to die or how we will die. But we can know where we're going when we die. To our God who made us, to our Savior who died for us, who promised that he would go ahead of us and prepare a place for us. "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you," Jesus said. "And I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Over the years, we've seen pictures of families of soldiers who have been returning back from Afghanistan or Iraq or wherever it is. And sometimes there's videos on YouTube as well of children who and families who are meeting their fathers or their mothers for the first time in a long time because they've been serving abroad in dangerous places. And you see the children and you see the loved ones running towards their husband, their father, their wife. And of their husband and father and wife, welcome them back. Opening their arms to welcome their children. And that's a kind of a picture here of what happens with Stephen, what happens when we die. There is Jesus standing there waiting for us. We've been away. There's been a bit of a battle. We've been having a tough time, perhaps. And there he is to welcome us home, to celebrate. Stephen died well. He died at peace. He died knowing that he was going to be in the arms of his Savior. And in his death, even in his death, he actually pointed people to the Savior to whom he had committed his life. Stephen had introduced many people to Jesus Christ in his life, I'm sure, through the conversations that he had, through the way that he lived. But he also did so in his death as well. Because you see, those who are present that day would never forget that guy Stephen. The guy whose face shone. The guy who, as he was being stoned to death, spoke of seeing Jesus Christ and spoke of forgiveness. And died with such confidence and assurance. You can imagine people in the Sanhedrin going home that day and saying to their wife, something really strange happened today. And we're also told that at the stoning, there was a man called Saul. He didn't do the stoning himself. He just held the coats of everyone else. He was kind of the ringleader. He was in charge. And that man, Saul, who's referred to, would soon become Paul, the Apostle Paul. Saul had listened to Stephen. Saul had seen the way that Stephen died. And he too would never forget. And of course, in the days that were ahead, Saul too would come to know the Jesus who was Stephen's Lord. Yes, Saul would go for a while resisting. But one day he would give in and follow Jesus. And it all began with Stephen's death. The way that Stephen died pointed people to Jesus. Is the way that we face death, is our faith, is our confidence in Jesus Christ going to point people to Jesus Christ? A man who lived wholeheartedly for Jesus Christ, a man who died for Jesus Christ. As we've been thinking about Stephen this morning, he challenges us in our faith, doesn't he? Our faith that can so often be distracted, our faith that can so often be lackluster, our love for Jesus can often seem so feeble. Our commitment to Christ, perhaps, can be cool. We're not full of faith in the Holy Spirit. We're not full of grace and God's power. Our tank is barely half empty, and perhaps the warning lights are coming on. And perhaps that's because we've not given ourselves totally to Jesus. And maybe we need to come to Jesus today and say, Jesus, you are the Lord of life. I am wholly yours, all of me. Fill me up so that I am full of faith and the Holy Spirit, so that I am full of grace and God's power, so that I'm ready to live for Jesus wholeheartedly and ready even to die for Him. It's a dangerous